love you so much that you woke us early this morning, allowed us to come into this place. Now, God, it is my prayer that the very words of my mouth and even the meditation of my heart, God, let all that be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, that your people may hear your word, rush to put it into practice. We thank you for the strength that it will give. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Appreciative to God for all of our ministers who are here, and each and every one of you for the praise team, band, and everybody that goes to serve and to make up this worship experience. God bless you. Just want to say thank you. Amen. Thank you for that. I do want to encourage you and invite you to turn with me today to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I promise you, if the Lord let me live, next week we'll make it to chapter 4. But I'm trying my best to get there. But it has not been easy. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the 16th verse. 16th verse says, but I'm reading from the NIV version, but whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Amen. I want to talk about the greater glory, the greater glory. The greater glory. You and I both know that if you are watching a movie, whether it is extremely important to stay focused at the beginning of the movie. Because sometimes one of the things you'll discover is at the beginning of the movie, there will be detail that will set you up to help you understand the context of everything that's going on afterwards. For instance, Mission Impossible, they're real good at starting with the character in the thick of something right at the beginning. And he's getting out of one thing only to know that that's just a preliminary. It's just to whet your appetite for what is yet to come. I was watching a movie the other day, The Upside. Kevin Hart is in that movie. The movie begins with the fact that he is in the car with a gentleman who is paralyzed. He's taking care of the man, but they're in a car and they're racing through the streets. That is actually the end of the movie, and then what they do is they'll tell you so many weeks before, and then the movie goes on. It literally rewinds to bring you to the place that you just saw. And so in the Bible, one of the things that you will discover is that Paul is extremely good at doing flashbacks. And that's what we have in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul is still dealing with the fact that he's got a group of believers who are stuck and listening, and have been, their minds and hearts have been twisted because of some new gospel. And they're still thinking that Paul really doesn't have all his credentials and he really ain't all of that. But one of the things that Paul knows, that in the midst of this group, there are also some individuals that are Jews, and he does a flashback. And he takes them all the way back. And in Exodus, in 2 Corinthians 33, he talks about the fact that he makes reference to the fact of Moses, when Moses came down from the mountain with the commandments, and he came down with glory. But to really understand that, you've got to go all the way back to Exodus chapter 31, 32, 33, and 34. And I would suggest that you should read that, and you would be amazed as well as excited about what you see in that text that brings us all the way to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And so if you will, one of the things that I want to do today, it's difficult. I know I've got to work hard to help you know where I am as I do this. But I want to rewind, if you will. I want to take the remote of your mind, the remote of the Bible, and I want to rewind to give you a glimpse of how we got to where we are today, to hopefully give you some insight as to what God has done and what and how it relates to what he is doing with you and me on this very day. What you will see is in, when you go to Exodus chapter 31, and I'll paraphrase it for you, at the end of Exodus chapter 31, here's what you have. You have God who is spending time with Moses. Moses is in the presence of God. He's been up on Mount Sinai for a little while now, and he is spending time in the presence of God. That's point number one. He's spending time in the presence of God, and he's spending time in the presence of God to receive and for God to give him his responsibilities. It's in chapter 31, along with others, where God is sharing with Moses the responsibility and what he is to share with the people. He's giving him responsibility, because when God calls us into a relationship, make no mistake about it, when you become a part of the family, you have some responsibilities. Say amen if you can. You have some responsibilities, and God himself is spending time with Moses because he wants to make sure that Moses clearly understands that he has a responsibility and he's got to get it before he can share it to the people. Come here. And the reason why some children never get the responsibility is because their mama didn't get it or their daddy didn't get it, because you can't give what you ain't got. Come here, quit blaming the babies, because you gotta give it to them if you want them to have it. And you can't do it by sending them to church. Have I got a witness here? Somebody was asking us the other day, what are we gonna do with the babies? I said Sunday school was a really good answer. And some people just brushed me off. But I'm telling you, everything I know is tied to what I learned in Sunday school. Sunday school. It's a good place to learn who God is. It's Sunday school. It's a good place to know who you are. Sunday school. It's a good place. I know. We sophisticated. But I'm telling you what, you got to get it before you give it. And Sunday school is a real good place. He teaches, he spends some time, chapter 31, God has given him responsibility. Let's go to number two. Then God gives him a present. He's in the presence of God, and then he gets a present from God. End of chapter 31, you know what God does? God gives him two tablets. And God has... God got a hangnail one day and took the broken fingernail and wrote his commandments on the tablets front and back. You know I'm using my sanctified imagination, because I really believe God's hand is really too big to you catch it on the... See, if he came to Sunday school, you would have caught that. You would have caught that. God himself took his finger and wrote his word. And then all of a sudden, when you get to chapter 32, verse 7, God says, because watch this, God is on the mountain with Moses, talking to Moses, and Moses is up there listening because he's getting his what? Responsibility. And then God says to Moses in the seventh verse, he said, you better get down there. You better get down. You better go down that mountain. Better get down that mountain. Because them people done gone, let me do it like you, they done gone buck wild. They have become corrupt. They have got out of control. And you go down there, for I kill everybody. And before Moses, before Moses leaves the mountain, in the ninth and 11th verse, he started pleading on their behalf. He's getting ready to go, but he know God's so big, God can be there and at the mountaintop at the same time. If he wanted to, he could have just spoke the word and wiped them all out. And Moses started pleading with God. God, these your people. These your people. God, you done too much to get rid of them now. You brought them out of the land of Egypt. You don't want people to say you just brought them out here to kill you, for you to kill them. God, please have mercy. Moses goes down. When he gets down to the foot of Mount Sinai, he sees what the people are doing. It doesn't say other than they were dancing. But I believe it was some dirty dancing going on. And it wasn't just dancing. The word talked about them acting wickedly and corrupt. And then lo and behold, in the middle of the party, somebody had built a calf, and they were singing and dancing and worshiping the golden calf. And Moses got so mad, he took them Ten Commandments, he took them tablets and threw it at them. I know what he was trying to do. He tried to kill them himself. Threw them commandments at them, and they fell, broke up into pieces, and then Moses made this plea. Everybody who's on the Lord's side, y'all get over here. And the Levites came, and Moses issued a judgment, and they went through and took some folk down, and 3,000 people were gone just on that alone. But in that present from God, those commandments represented really the relationship. It represented a relationship. Those commandments really do two things. It shows how we are to relate to God. And secondly, it shows how we are to relate to each other. It's really interesting. It shows, that's all the commandments really do. Show, this is how we're called to relate to God. And here's how we are to relate to each other. But in the midst of the broken commandments, in the midst of all of that idolatry, one thing stands clear. And that is that God, he's a merciful God. He's merciful because he could have struck them, but he's merciful. He could have destroyed them right there, but he is merciful. And you do know mercy is when you don't get what you do deserve. But he sends Moses down and he tells Moses even in the midst of all that's been going on, he's merciful. He shows them and he tells them, he says, Moses, you're going to lead these people away from here. We're getting out of here. We're going to raise up out of here. You're going to lead these people. You got to get them. We're going to get them out of here. Now, that's good. That's merciful right there. He says, you're going to lead them up out of here. Then when you get to the 33rd chapter, he says, and I'm going to send an angel ahead of you, and he's going to clear the way to the place that I promised you, where I told you going to go. But then he uttered these words that are scary words. These are scary words in the third verse. In the third verse, scary words, third verse, he says, y'all going to leave. Y'all going to get out of here. But then the scary word is this, but I ain't going with you. I ain't going with you. And God, it's so funny. That's why I need y'all to read it. God tells Moses, tell the people, I ain't going with you. And watch this. So in verse number 3 in chapter 33, he says, but I will not go with you, listen to this, because you're a stiff-necked people, and I might destroy you on the way. Here's what he really said. He said, I'm going to keep my distance from y'all. Because as wicked as y'all are, you may do something, and before I know it, You remember what Mama used to say? Before she knew it, she didn't have to think about it. I will. He said, ain't going with you. And when the people heard that God is not going with them, they cry out and they weep and they mourn. They're sad because they know what God did before. There were some other days where they needed a way made, and they were able to cross over some things because God was with them. But now God says, I ain't going with you. I ain't going with you. But y'all going to go. You're going to lead the people. Now, here's something interesting about Moses. This ain't the first time. When you get to the 15th verse, Moses says, now, God, you've been saying, I found favor with you and you pleased with me. You said that you want me to lead the people. But watch this. Moses says to God, but you ain't told me who you going to send with me. Because Moses still has a lonophobia. I know y'all ain't never seen that word before. I made it up. But Moses is terrified of being alone. He's got a lonophobia. And he's asking God, you want me to lead these people? But you ain't said who you gonna send with me. And then the Lord says to Moses, God says to Moses, my presence will be with you. My presence will be with you. Then the amazing thing as the story goes on, Moses does something extremely bold. Exodus 33:18, he makes a request. He says, God, you said your presence is going to be with me. I got a question, Lord. Will you show me your glory? I just want to know, because I need to know that you're there. He says, show me your glory. And God, I can imagine the Lord saying, boy, after all y'all just been through, asking for something real big. The truth is, Moses is asking for something that he really can't handle. But God says, I tell you what, because I will have mercy on whoever I will, and I'll have compassion on who I will. Listen to this. God said, I'm going to do just what you asked me to do. I'm going to skip something real quick, and I'll be right back. God tells him in the morning, because they're down at the tent at this time, God says, now, I need you to go chisel some more tablets. I gave you some tablets before, and you done threw them down, busted them up. You go make two more tablets like the one I gave you. Don't write nothing, just make the tablets. And then early in the morning, you get on up and you meet me at the top of the mountain. You come on to the mountain. And watch this. When you read in chapter 33, he says, and put some of that yellow tape out around the mountain and tell them people, don't come near the mountain. Don't even let the sheep come near the mountain. Keep their distance from the mountain of God. And in the morning, you make sure you bring them tablets up to me. I'll go back. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do what you asked. He said, now, no man can see God's face and live. But here's what I'm going to do for you. He says, and this is in the 21st verse of Exodus 33. He says, there is a rock near me. And what I'm going to do, he says, you may stand on it. Listen to me carefully. There is a rock that's near me. And you may stand on it. He didn't say, I'm going to put you on it, but you can stand on it. Here's what you got. God gives him an invitation to stand on the rock that's near him. He didn't say, I'm going to pick you up and put you on it. No, it's an invitation. You can do it if you want to. If you don't do it, it's up to you. The ball's in your court. But there is a rock that is near me, and you may, if you want to, stand on it. And here's what I'll do. I will pass by, but before I do it, the rock it's a shelf. You can stand on it, but watch this. There's a cleft in the rock. You can stand on the rock, but the rock is tall. There's a cleft in the rock. That means there's an opening in the side of the rock. I want you to get it. The rock has a shelf. You can stand on the shelf, but there's an opening just big enough for you. And what I'm going to do is, watch the text, I will put you in the cleft. I'm going to put you in the cleft. You can't do this. All you can do is stand on a rock, but I've got to put you in the rock. And then what I'm going to do, I'm going to put my hand over you. Woo-hoo! God's got large, he's got long arms and big hands. So Moses accepts the invitation and stands on the rock that's near him. And then at the appointed time, God puts him in the crevice. Watch this. Did I say he had a long arm? Did I say he has a big hand? His arm is so long, it's incredible. He stretches his arm and covers Moses with his hand. And then his glory passes by. And then after he gets by, he moves his hand. And Moses gets to see the backside of his glory. And it's so powerful that it changes him. Because anytime you get in the presence of God, anytime you stay in the presence of God, won't it change it? I know it'll change it. And I know it for a fact. That's what happened to me. And that's what happened. And I know what some of y'all say. Well, it may not be. It may be that you're not in the. But anybody I know who spend time in the presence of God, because here's what I know about his glory. His glory will get around you. Have I got a witness here? And his glory will get on you. And then if you keep on, his glory will get in you. It'll change you. It'll change you. And in the 34th chapter of Exodus, when Moses came down from the mountain, he didn't know he'd been changed. But the people knew. The text says that he was glowing that he was radiant, that he was so shiny that the people got scared of it. Come here a minute. I want to tell you, if you spend some time in the presence of God, he'll change you. That's what the old folk meant when they said, I looked at my hands. And my hands looked new. Looked at my feet and they did too. He'll change you. And Moses didn't know the effect that God had had on him when he was in his presence. And the people were scared of it. And he was shining so that Moses then, he said, okay, I'll fix this. He put a veil over his face so that he could be in the presence of the people. And the people celebrated the fact that Moses came down from the mountain with the new Ten Commandments, the new copy of the Ten Commandments, with the glory of God. Let me fast forward. So when Paul makes reference to the Old Testament, where Moses was coming down in the glory of God, he said, y'all got excited about Moses who came down with the law written on the stones, and y'all rejoiced over that glory. What he's really saying, that ain't nothing. Because that glory is transitory. That glory will fade away. But what you've got to understand is that what God was doing back then, it was just a picture of what he's going to do right now. I hope you didn't miss it. I'll rewind for a minute, because what God was really doing is he gave Moses the law, not for you to glorify the law, but he gave Moses the law to help you understand the desperate need for a Savior. Because what happens is, when Christ comes and when you turn to Christ, he uncovers the veil, because God is doing a transformational work in your life. Don't miss it. Come on, you remember what I told you? God said, there is a rock near me. Who do you think that is? God said, there's an opening in the rock, in the side of the rock. Who do you think that is? God said, you can stand on the rock if you want to. Who do you think that is? God said, you can't get in the rock yourself, but I'll put you in the rock. Who do you think that is? Nobody but Jesus. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. In Christ, I'm a brand new creature. Have I got a witness here? When you accept the invitation, you can stand on Jesus, the rock that will not fail. God will put you in Jesus. Woo. Paul said, God has given us a greater glory. It's a greater glory, because God is transforming us into the image of his Son every day. Did I say every day? We had time in the presence of God. We had a present from God. But what God, Daryl, has done in our hearts, it's perpetual. It goes on and on and on and on and on. Erica, as long as you on this earth, God is transforming you into the image of his Son. Let me help some of y'all, because some of y'all struggle with the process. I wrap this thing up like this. You know a little something about puzzles, don't you? You do know that there's pieces numerically and size based upon who gets it. So the kind of puzzles that Trudy makes and puts together is a lot different than what the grandbabies get. Have I got a witness? Are you with me? But then as the puzzles become more complicated, you still don't have to worry. It does take time for the pieces to come together. You gotta give God the time, and you gotta trust God that He'll get the pieces where they need to be if you trust God. Now, the problem is some people are trying to put the puzzle together without the benefit of the picture. When you've got a glimpse of the picture, it'll help you understand where the pieces go. You want to know why you pulling your hair and your weave out? You want to know why you can't sleep last night? You want to know why you're sucking on your thumbs and popping pills? You don't have a glimpse of the picture. In the Bible, we get a glimpse of the picture. In Christ, we have a glimpse of the picture. In Jesus, we get to see what the picture looks like. And then it helps you, because every now and then you get to see a piece come together. When you get a little older, puzzles weren't intended for you to put together in one night. When you get a little older, puzzles weren't designed to be instant. But you've got to thank God that He's got all the pieces there. You got to thank God if you just stay at the table. You'll see some things that you couldn't see before. You'll find some things that you couldn't find before. And little by little, piece by piece, by piece by piece, it'll come together, and you'll discover God is putting a marvelous picture. Your life is a marvelous picture, and He's putting it together step by step, day by day, season by season, storm by storm, valley by valley. He's putting it together. Why don't you trust Him? Why don't you trust Him? Why don't you wait on Him and let Him put it together? And when it's all said and done, one glad morning, when this life is over, He's going to have all of the pictures displayed. It's an amazing thing that my wife has been doing puzzles all her life. One of the things that she did, she used to do with some of them, when the puzzle was completed, she'd do one or two things. Sometimes she'd break it apart and start all over. And then sometimes she would put the puzzle on a board. I don't know what the chemical was. I don't know what it was. It looked like glue, but she would paint it, and it would seal the picture, and all the cracks and crevices would be filled in. And when you step back, you didn't see the lines. You just saw the clear image of what the artist intended. Hey, we've got cracks, we've got crevices, we've got dents, but when God, when He get done, when He gets done doing what He do, you'll see it clearly of what He intended from the beginning. I close like grandmama said, so Daryl, you can't hurry, God. No, you just gotta wait. You gotta trust Him. You gotta give Him time. No matter how long it takes, you serve a God that you can't hurry. He gonna show up. He gonna show up. Don't you worry. Don't believe me. Turn around and ask Glenn. He may not come when you want Him, but He's always